Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo zdrav, še vedno se držite za 89,3. Nastopil je čas za RŠ intervju, ura je odbila 18. in nam se je v studiju pridružil Finn Johansen. Finn je znan predvsem kot DJ za DJ-je, nemška legenda house glasbe. Trenutno dela tudi že nekaj časa v Hardwaxu, pomaga selekcionirati plošče v eni najbolj znanih ploščarn v Berlinu. Sicer pa tudi pisati za Resident Advisor, nekoč Debug in druge revije. So Finn, welcome to Radio Students.
Oh, hello, pleased to meet you, and yeah. I'm glad I'm here.
I've just introduced you as a man from Hardwax. So yeah. How are the vinyl sales going over the last few years?
Actually, they're going really well. I don't see it dying too quickly, but you know, you can never tell, but right now the sales are still going very strong.
Still going very strong, okay. So people that follow your DJ mixes and DJ appearances would probably assume that you're a Berliner coming from Berlin, but actually you're coming from a different city and from a different decade, if I may add.
Different times, yeah. I'm living in Berlin for the last 12 years now, and before that, I lived in Kiel, which is in the north of Germany, right at the Baltic Sea, like 100 kilometers north of Hamburg. I was born and raised there.
How did you get in touch with electronic music in Kiel in the 80s?
Well, like mostly going to clubs then. When I was really young, I started going to clubs, and it was like this weird mixture of new wave stuff, disco, Italo disco stuff. So I mean, synth pop was really big at that time, so you couldn't help avoid it really. It was around everywhere.
But there was especially one club that made an impact on you.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a front club in Hamburg, but so actually not in my hometown, but in Hamburg. Which was a gay basement club. It started in 83, I think, and closed its doors in 97. And I was there pretty regularly from like 87 to like 93, 94, something like that.
So what was the music policy there?
At the beginning, it was like this transitional period between the traditional disco styles, mostly like after the classic disco boom. So it was like synth pop, high energy, some classic disco too, of course, but yeah, a lot of electronic disco styles. And then it kind of eventually led up to house, and the Front Club was one of the first clubs in Europe to play house. Actually, they started it very early.
Was that before Hacienda?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, The English people do that mistake of documenting everything very thoroughly. So whenever I read some books about the scene back then, you can tell that when some Hacienda resident DJ tells you that he played some Derek May track in that month, you can tell that you were already dancing to it a lot more than that. So yeah.
But there was especially one DJ that pioneered the house in new music back.
He was called Klaus Stockhausen, and he was a resident there from the very early beginning. To he quit DJing in like 91, 92, something like that. Right, when it was possible to earn a decent living from DJing, he quit.
He quit.
Yeah.
And why did he quit?
He was fed up. Basically, he was fed up with the DJ getting more important than the music, which I found highly respectable. I interviewed him once, and he told me that he just couldn't take that because at the Front Club, it wasn't about the DJ, it was about the music, even though the DJs were really incredible. I mean, Stockhausen was probably the best DJ I've ever heard, but it was not about personality or ego, it was about the music. and he couldn't let go of it, so he quit. Mm-hmm. So and he became a fashion stylist, and then he was really successful too.
So was he more of a Larry Levan or more of a Frankie Knuckles?
He was more of a Ron Hardy, I would say.
Ron Hardy.
Yeah, he was very dynamic. Okay. He was not like the elegant
okay. DJ. Did he also have like special edits of disco tracks?
Yeah, he did some. He had some really notorious edits of Frankie Goes. I remember when Frankie Goes to Hollywood edit of Relax It was cross-laced with some German Schlager, which was a huge hit back then. But it was only in tape, you could never buy it, uh-huh. But it was really notorious.
Okay, so, like you mentioned, unlike Boiler Room these days, you actually couldn't see the DJ in front.
Yeah, that was a special thing about the club. You couldn't see the DJ. The DJ booth was secluded. They only had like small peeping holes where you could see the crowd, but Klaus Stockhausen once told me that he could tell if the crowd was really hyped up by just hearing them scream. But okay. He didn't really see them, which was funny. Yeah.
A few days ago, the Chicago, or actually New York house legend, the Godfather, the Disco Revenge, as some call him, passed yeah. away. Sadly, we're talking about Frankie Knuckles, of course. Who first became famous in the Warehouse Club. Did you see him play at the Front Club?
Yeah, I heard him play at the Front Club in 92, and it totally impressed me, because back then the resident DJs at Front, like Stockhausen and later Boris Lugosz, they were really dynamic, played it house style really in a kicking way, and Frankie Knuckles was kind of the opposite. He set up a fan and a bottle of cognac and...
Diva.
Not really a diva, but he was really just relaxed, and okay. he played like records from beginning to end, and played them much slower too.
Okay.
So that was kind of different, and it impressed me a lot.
So when the club closed, if I read correctly, the decoration was auctioned, but you managed to get a hold of a very special...
The only memorabilia I still have, it's stuck on my on the door to my room, is I have the ladies' toilet sign. I after a particularly wild night, I woke up with it stuck on my t-shirt. I don't know how it got there, so I thought it was like the perfect memorabilia to it, but I didn't went to the auction. I even didn't go to the closing night. I just couldn't bear it, actually.
Okay. So when you moved to Berlin, how did you get into Hardwax? Is it true that you pushed Prosumer out?
No. I did. I actually took over from him, but it was different. I mean, Prosumer was decided to leave because, I think, mainly because of his busy DJ schedule. And at that time, I was mainly DJing, running the label Macro, and working as a music journalist. And there were too many deadlines involved, particularly with writing. And I became father, and it was just too difficult. So I was looking for some steady work. And actually then when Prosumer left, the Hardwax guys approached me if I couldn't take over. And so I did, and it worked out well.
How much digging does a Hardwax man do per day?
In terms of listening to new releases? Hours. Now, of course, you tend to skip through a lot of things, but yeah, you listen to a lot of music. But I mean, if you work, I mainly work as a buyer for the store. So if you're not interested in new music, you cannot do the job. It's crucial that you are like maintain some curiosity. Otherwise, it wouldn't work.
So I assume you have some personal connections with some of the artists, because you can witness that you follow some of the artists quite thoroughly.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's some people that you know you really like, and some of them are friends too. And there's some labels that we distribute, like Achido or Süd. They didn't sell for years, but we just felt it was good music, and eventually some people might get interested in it, and it worked out well, and now they're all doing good stuff and still do, and I love that. I kind of like people who have some personal signature to what they do and have some healthy attitude too, and they're not like about, you know, doing music as a career option, but more based off like just conviction and some idealism too.
Like the Fat Brothers.
Yeah. I mean the Mitterer brothers are probably a good example of that. That you just, you know, you do the things you do because you just feel that you have to do them, and not because because it's some career option.
So do you think that the globalization and availability of tons of music, of loads of DJ sets available on the internet, and democratization of the media and software opened up club music, or has it watered it down?
I'm not sure it helped to improve the music, because I have this feeling that whenever some new trend comes around, it's like all the different channels that you have to access music just like helps people to realize they can like do the same and copy something quite easily. So that doesn't really mean some improvement. It's kind of weird in a way. But yeah, I don't know. It's like information didn't really help, but still I wouldn't want to miss it, because, you know, I can remember in the days before the internet, it was such a pain in the ass to learn about music. Yeah. It was really difficult. So right now it's kind of swung back to the other extreme.
Back to the radio days.
Yeah.
So how much records do you have at home?
Right now it's about 7,000. It used to be a lot more, but I decided to get rid of some. And since then I'm able to breathe again.
Okay. And if I understood correctly, you have a favorite second-hand shop, which you use for that?
Actually, I like a lot of second-hand record stores in Berlin. There are plenty of good ones. I'm a bit attached to that new one called Record Loft, because the mentioned records I decided to get rid of, they sell them for me. But it's a good store, yeah. It's like 50,000 records, mostly of it house and techno and disco stuff. And it's really a store you should visit if you're into digging. It's a digging store. It's not that well organized or something. It's just like, you know, you have to get your fingers dirty, which I like a lot.
So what would be your favorite night in Berlin? What would you suggest to techno house stewards waiting in line, pretending to be German in front of their
hand? You cannot possibly tell. It's changing so quickly. I mean, just recently I played a new club called Ohm, which is in the same building as Tresor and related to it. They have a really good booking. I think it's set out to be a really important club. Maybe, you can never tell. There were some losses too, you know, some clubs that I really liked that had to close down eventually, like Soyu Bar or Horst, where the Hardwick's parties always used to take place. And I mean, there's still regular stuff still going strong. Like, I mean, maybe a lot of people are telling you that Panorama Bar Berghain is not what it used to be. Maybe it even isn't, but I think it's still, compared to other clubs, is still something very special.
So is this closing of clubs a trend of gentrification or bad management?
Mostly, yeah, mostly so, yeah. I mean, Soju Bar, for example, was had to close down because they built a hostel above it, and that was it. And yeah, it's mostly like noise pollution, neighboring problems, which is of course a bit sad, but yeah, it's kind of a lot of outlets for music are dying down, because people can move into some certain areas in Berlin because it's so freaky and hip and they like the action, but they don't want the action to interfere with like their comfort zone, which is of course a bit fucked up.
And the rent is going up.
Rent is going up pretty steadily right now. Yeah, it's a new. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I don't know. It was about to happen. I mean, you could tell it couldn't stay that way, you know. But still, Berlin is very cheap compared to other bigger European cities. But it's changing. I mean, the last 4 years have seen rents going up pretty rapidly, and I think it will stay that way until at some point it will be the same as everywhere else.
So cycle. A cycle.
It's a cycle, yeah. I mean, of course, the more attractive the city is for people moving there, of course, it's changing things. But I mean, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, Berlin pretty much relies on creative input from out of Berlin. You know, you cannot. Berlin couldn't stay relevant. It was only for people, you know, who kind of maintain some status and don't want things to change. It needs to change.
Sure. So, do you still write for Resident Advisor, or have you completely?
Actually, right now I have stopped writing. I haven't stopped completely, but I only do some features once in a while because I simply do not have the time anymore.
No more tough interviews like with Shed.
Yeah, I didn't mind that. That was a good interview actually. Uh-huh. But yeah, I love to do interviews. I still do them occasionally. I just recently interviewed Danny Tenaglia, which was a really interesting experience. And when people approach me to write some stuff and I can squeeze it into what I do else, I still love to do it. I don't want to stop completely because I also kind of miss it, actually.
Do you know the chief editor, Todd L. Burns? Does he live in Berlin? Or?
Yeah, I know him, yeah. He still lives in Berlin, but he works for Red Bull.
Uh-huh, okay.
In the meantime, so yeah, he quit being the editor of Resident Advisor and he left for Red Bull Music Academy.
Because he also contributed a really, really good mix for his superb series of classy mixes from certain famous clubs from all around the
world. Yeah, the promo mixes thing. Yeah, yeah.
Because not many people actually know this series.
It's yeah, they should, actually.
They should, but it was never like really hyped on the Resident Advisor or around.
No. It was a weird idea, a weird concept for mix series, because the main idea was that people maintain or that they like do an application tape for the clubs. For their favorite club. So I kind of acted like I was auditioning for Front Club with a mixtape in 1990 or something. And yeah, I don't know if I would have gotten the job, but I try to do my best.
So what's in your record bag for this weekend? It's a big bag.
It's a big bag, yeah. I actually included lots of stuff that I haven't played out before. And some old records too that maybe do not get played out so often, and then some unreleased stuff too, and some test pressings that I really enjoyed, and then kind of more or less records that I bought this year and still haven't played out. So
some Hardwicks tips.
Some Hardwicks tips, but you know, there are actually no Hardwicks tips anymore.
Who writes this copywriting for that?
Didn't you notice? The bias write all the commentary. So I do too.
Okay.
And we at some point we realized that so many distributors and other stores are using this tip thing that we decided to just stop it. And we stopped doing it and we erased a lot of tips from the database too, because it was just becoming a cliche.
Okay. So what's coming up on your micro label you run with Stephen Goldman?
Yeah, the next big one is an album by Kink, which is coming out in May 5, and it's already causing a huge stir. And understandably, because on the one hand, Kink has gotten really popular right now, but he's also the album is really incredibly good. I can say so, if I may. And then later in May, there's a new album coming out by Electro Guzzi, which is also really, really great. They changed their sound a bit. It's like mixture. It's gotten a bit noisier and a bit more weird and psychedelic, and I really like that. And then later this year, there's some really, really strange project that Stefan's working on, but I can't tell right now.
Okay.
But it's really, really weird. And then, yeah, probably there's also going to be an album by Peter Kruder.
Okay.
But he's very pedantic and a slow worker, and I respect that. So I cannot tell a date for that. And then we will publish an EP by Anustam.
You know,
Anustam from 50 Weapons. He just sent us some track, which is going to be an EP. Which is like wonderfully bizarre techno, and I'm really looking forward to have that released. If it still would be a tip at Heartwrecks, it's a contender.
Quite a few tips then.
Yeah. Or highly recommended, maybe.
Okay. So any last message for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I'm following the station actually for some while now, because the Radio Student Mix is popping up left and right if you do some research. And so I'm kind of familiar with the station, and I'm kind of proud to be here too. Keep on listening, people.
This is a big up for Big D, who was running until now the DJ session, and he's also DJing tonight. Takole. Fine lahko drevi ujamete v Bikofeju in kasnejše v bolj klubski in daljši izvedbi v kanalu Nič na Metelkovi in na večeru Lost Tapes od polnoči dalje. Sicer pa drevi na programu še veliko dobrot, sledi to ali pa Bumov, Vermont, zvečer pa v živahni trojček, voz zabave, Matičiče v šesti muziki, Bore z Breakwaveom in moja malenko Stilen v Ex Machini. Kar se bo zaključilo z besno DJ seanso enega in edinega blondinca Gregija Felisa Katosa.
Intervju Radija Študent.